Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Leaning with Jeff. I hope everyone is having a great wrap of the semester. There are still a couple days left until final season is over, so good luck, everybody. I hope it all goes well. Mine are all over, and I'm sure that some of you guys are over as well. Congratulations to everyone for succeeding and successfully completing the semester. It has truly been a stressful but still a very fun time for me. But, you know, I'm happy that I'm able to finish this on a positive note. And here I am back in the studio doing another show. For today, I'm actually going to be doing a rom-com on my own. And it's one of my favorite rom-coms. I've mentioned last week maybe in my show for introducing some Christmas rom-coms. This is one of them, and I'm just going to be talking a little bit about it. I have a couple songs for you guys from the band The Hidden Cameras. We're doing a continuation of listening to their albums, and then I'll end off with some fun facts for you all as well. I just want to say thank you again to the CITR staff and CITR student executive members for making this semester so amazing with all the wonderful events and all the fun parties that we hosted. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend a lot of them, but I intend to attend most of them possibly next semester. So that said, there are going to be some more events held next term, so please stay out for the lookout because we have some fun things prepared for you all. Christmas time is coming up, and it's definitely one of the most busiest seasons yet yearly, and I'm sure that most of you guys are having some family members over, family friends, or maybe you're going back home. I wish you safe trips for everybody, and hopefully some snow can come down and, you know, make this Christmas spirit live again. All right, so without further ado, why don't we get through some ads, some PSAs, and some show promos, and we'll get right into the show for today. So here we go, and I'll see you guys in a couple of minutes.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra Siam, Nisiyam, Nisiyaya,
and the Skakhuya, Talitin, Homasquim, Mustayo.
Is your mom obsessed with Vicks Vapor Rub?
So is ours.
Are you too obsessed with Vicks Vapor Rub?
So are we.
Tune in to Viva Poru, el ungüento para el alma, every other Thursday at 4 p.m. here at CITR 101.9 FM.
A radio show dedicated to Latin awesomeness and culture. Hosted by yours truly, the one and only
DJ Bruja, and the other one and only
DJ D-Rod.
Featuring music genres like
salsa, sabrosura vintage, bolero, bossa, Latin indie, plus so much more.
Disclaimer, Viva Peru, un invento para el alma, contains a high amount of llama content. DJ D-Rod and DJ Bruja are not responsible for a newly found llama obsession.
We stand for peace, we stand for justice for the people of Palestine and for the upholding of international law.
On November 30th, join Irish for Palestine, BC, for a night of crack agus ciol, including trivia, music, dancing, and fundraising for an important cause. All funds raised will be donated to Medical Aid for Palestinians, a long-standing charitable organization responding to the humanitarian emergency in Gaza and Lebanon by providing on-the-ground medical supplies and complex care to children and families impacted by violence. Tickets are $15, and the event will be held in the function room of Foy's Irish Bar. To find out more, visit @IrishForPalestineBC on Instagram. That's @IrishForPalestineBC with a numerical 4. Saoirse don Phalastine.
We are UBC Electronica, and we love electronic music such as
Run for them life when I step into the jungle.
We offer DJ workshops, open decks, pop-up parties, and more. Follow our socials such as Instagram, Discord, or join us through email ubcelectronica@gmail.com.
أهلا وسهلا.
أنا سكاي.
Bienvenido.
Una ti.
Jack Tunnel. Tag Titan.
You were invited to volunteer for Spicesisim Garden. Get away from the rat race. Get back to the land. Heal. Reconnect with yourself. Touch grass. Find a quiet place among the plants and find a quiet place inside yourself.
Check us out on Facebook at Indigenous Garden UBC Farm, or visit the Swissessism Indigenous Garden located at UBC Farm just off of Ross Road.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Leanin' with Jeff. I hope you guys are having a great wrap-up for this year. I still can't believe that 2024 is already coming to an end. We have less than half of December left, actually, because it's December 17th, Tuesday, 2 p.m. afternoon. And I hope that everyone is just wrapping up this month on a positive note. For those of you who are actually looking for places to see some beautiful Christmas lights, you should go to Lafarge Lake. It's a lake in Coquitlam where they actually decorate the trees with beautiful lighting every year. And it seems like they've put up some more diverse designs for the decoration this year. So if you're curious, go ahead and look at that. It's truly beautiful, preferably when it is nighttime because they are lights. And so that would be a good scenery to look at. Once again, I want to thank CITR student executives and the CITR staff members for making this year, this term of CITR, so wonderful with so many different events. We hold different diverse events, the three main ones being Victory Square Block Party happening around September, the Shindig Battle of Bands, which is usually around November to early December, and what's coming up actually is the Fun Drive annual fundraising event during February. So please get a lookout for those events, and thank you all for making this semester so amazing. All right, why don't we get into the movie review for today's episode. I decided to watch, I've actually rewatched this movie multiple times, but it's a movie called Love Hard. It is a Netflix romantic comedy directed by Hernan Jimenez and written by Danny McKay and Rebecca Ewing. This film is a contemporary spin on the classic Christmas romance, integrating the complexities of online dating and the significance of genuine connection. So it's a very heartwarming movie. You know, there's a little bit of drama, especially in the beginning, and a little bit of secrecy along the movie as well, because Obviously, there is the theme of catfishing that comes up, and so there are people in the movie that do not know the truth of what is going on, which makes it more intense and actually fun to watch it. So I'm just going to be dissecting some of the aspects of the movie that I found quite intriguing, and we'll be diving into the plot line and other pivotal moments of the movie while explaining and exploring these themes and how they operate within the film. So at the core of the movie Love Hard, it is a narrative of Natalie Bohr, who is a dating column writer from Los Angeles who has essentially lost faith in love. And then there is the second protagonist, Josh Lin, who is played by Jimmy O. Yang, is a man who she meets on a dating app. So Natalie Bohr, who's played by Nina Dobrev, is on a dating app, has been on the dating app trying to find the love of her life. However, the romance in this film is particularly noteworthy for its challenge to kind of divert from the traditional notions of attraction and compatibility, as well as the way that they kind of meet. So Natalie initially goes into the dating app, meeting Josh, but is not quite fully meeting him as a person, because he creates a different profile, a facade of his image using Tag as his profile photo. And through this, Natalie must navigate her feelings when she discovers the truth about who Josh is in real life. So this immediately just makes the movie very intense, very dramatic, and you know, it just makes the movie much more curious into what is going to be happening. But then again, it opens a lot of doors in character development, especially within Natalie's character, along with Jimmy, and all with Josh, actually, his character as well. So a crucial aspect of this romantic movie is the transition from disappointment to genuine connection. And I think this resonates with the quote of "Don't judge a book by its cover," because what Natalie initially does is, which is actually a very rational response to Josh creating a fake profile, complete disappointment, some anger along with that as well, and just disbelief of what she has experienced overall with meeting someone who is not actually someone who she thought was. And so this initial disappointment stems from this facade of an image that Josh creates, but it actually has a much more deeper meaning to it. Although Natalie on the outer side may seem like, you know, may portray Josh as this evil character who is just trying to trick people, Josh, on the other hand, is quite insecure and is struggling with his own dating life, which I want to emphasize is not a justifiable way to create and trick someone into loving them. But on that end, we can kind of understand where Josh's decision arose from. And so we kind of continue on with this movie, and we see that despite the initial catfishing, Natalie and Josh develop a profound bond based on shared experiences, their witty banter, and a mutual sense of support that they give each other. And so through this progression, we can feel that their relationship is blossoming in an organic and endearing manner, largely due to the palpable chemistry between Dobrev and Yang. And so their characters build a foundation of friendship first, which then blossoms into the romance aspect of it, which emphasizes that romantic comedy nature. Their portrayal of romance is deeply connected to the theme of authenticity, which is a very, very core theme that revolves around the film as it progresses. And so authenticity is a theme that actually interconnects with the idea of insecurity as well, especially within Josh's character. Josh, who is actually a very talented person. You know, he has a passion for creating scented candles. He's also quite good at rock climbing as well. Very funny. And as you can see in the movie, he's actually quite good at singing as well. However, he is pulled back from simply his view of divergence of a traditional handsome, what it means to be a handsome man. And so he struggles with that, and he ends up neglecting his positive aspects of his authentic self. And so Josh's decision to catfish Natalie, though misguided, stems from, again, his insecurity about his appearance. So through this, we kind of get the sense of how authenticity can lead into insecurity at some moments as well, which the movie explains on what the consequences can lead from that. And so this message is reinforced through the character's interactions, making the romance feel more authentic and relatable. As I mentioned, their relationship begins as a friendship, and through that friendship dynamic, they become comfortable with each other. Go into more specifics, they actually make a deal of how Josh is going to be helping Natalie get with Tag, who is the physically accurate representation of what Natalie thought Josh would look like. And so through that deal, they become open with each other, talking about their true selves, you know, their interests, and through that it kind of blossoms into that romance aspect as well. And so I want to dive into the scene where Natalie and Josh decorate the house of Josh together, because Natalie actually goes and flies to Josh's house to surprise him, and then, you know, that's kind of how she realized that Josh catfished her. Fast forward, you know, Natalie and Josh are decorating the house together, and this actually serves as a pivotal moment for their relationship. The camaraderie and laughter they share while hanging the ornaments and lights creates a sense of warmth and comfort. There's also a scene where Natalie shares her story of, you know, being a little chubby during her elementary years and, you know, relating that with Josh as well. And so through that, it highlights the importance of shared experiences and how that builds a sense of connection as well. This scene is not just a visual delight, but also a narrative tool that deepens their emotional bond, making their eventual romance more believable and satisfying. And I think movies that create this sense of relatability makes the movie so much more heartfelt and more wholesome as you watch the movie. It also gets you engaged within the characters as well in a much deeper sense. And the overall situation just becomes more real, making it more intense throughout the movie. So the dialogue in Love Hard is also a very, very significant part of the film. I, in particular, love the witty, relatable, and often humorous banter that goes on. It does reveal their personalities and once again deepens their connection. For example, there is a scene where they converse about their favorite childhood movies talk about their childhood memories as well. And it kind of references, you know, the classic film, The Breakfast Club, where, you know, Natalie's favorite song is actually from The Breakfast Club movie. And so it adds a layer, once again, of nostalgia for the viewers, and who are fans of romantic comedy movies. I want to move on to the cinematography of the movie and how it was actually based in Vancouver, British Columbia. And I think a lot of movies are based in Vancouver, British Columbia, where I'm resided into right now, and I'm going to school here. So whoever is in Vancouver, BC, you all know how beautiful this city is, although that it can be covered with quite a bit of rain at times. Like today, actually, it seems like the weather is quite gloomy, a little cold, but it seems like it's going to brighten up next week, so stay tuned for that weather as well. But why don't we go into the scene where Natalie and Josh actually spend time together, decorating the house and then singing Baby It's Cold Outside outside someone's house as, you know, a carol singing event. And this kind of further emphasizes their growing connection and comfort for each other. And I really enjoy this scene because, tying this back to cinematography, they shoot this scene like a music video almost. You know, the camera position is kind of rotating between their faces, you know, and there's a comedic moment where it zooms back into Josh's brother, who's extremely jealous of the fact that they had to sing that song and not him. And it goes very successfully. And so I think that in that way, it was very, very beautifully shot in terms of, you know, singing the song and really elaborating on, you know, their growing connection within each other. So the plot of Love Hard is initially actually centered around Natalie's journey to meet Josh for the holidays, you know, only to be discovered that she has been catfish. And then obviously this twist makes this movie so much more intensely intense in terms of, you know, as an audience member to view, you know, this conflict and how it's going to be resolved throughout the movie. Now, initially, it kind of maybe seem like the plot is largely predictable as it relies on familiar rom-com tropes, you know, executing the relationship of the love-hate relationship turning into, you know, that romance aspect of it. But I really enjoy that the film incorporated the modern aspects of online dating and the challenges it presents adds a layer of realism into the movie and to the viewers as well. I think one of the strengths of the plot is its ability to balance lighthearted moments with the deeper themes. So the film tackles issues like self-presentation on social media, the pressures to conform to societal expectations, and the importance of honesty in relationships as well. So these themes are woven into the narrative in a way that feels organic and meaningful, adding the depth to what could otherwise be a superficial romantic comedy. For example, the scene where Josh's family gathers for Christmas dinner is a perfect blend of humor and heart. I think the chaos and warmth of the family gathering highlights the complexities of family dynamics and the importance of acceptance. And I think these crucial themes that are within the film really makes it so much more deeper than it, you know, is. It's not just about, you know, someone catfishing someone and then, you know, they end up falling in love. There's actually much more deeper aspects to the movie to be delved into once you pay attention to the relationship that's being built within Natalie and Josh. Moving on to the Love Hard movie in terms of the family dynamics, Josh's family is portrayed with a unique, you know, personality blend where everyone is just very, very passionate about Christmas. It's a very big thing for them. You know, the family is definitely portrayed to be a little quirky, supportive, and sometimes embarrassing, regardless of their, you know, their backgrounds. And so this family dynamic really just emphasizes on not only the humor and warmth of it, but the crucial nature of acceptance that Natalie actually exposes herself to and learns from. Josh's family, they're incredibly supportive. I mean, Josh's brother isn't quite supportive. He's very invested in being the center of attention. But, you know, overall, they're very supportive. And I think through this, we can kind of realize how, you know, being supportive really just makes or breaks someone's self-confidence as well. And initially, it also does bring up the idea of how important communication is. Although that Josh's family is supportive, Josh is kind of put into this pressure to work in his dad's company, which is a shop that sells sporting goods. However, Josh's true passion lies within candle making, in which he struggles to bring up throughout the film. And so when we see, finally, when he does confront his father about his true passion in candle making, the acceptance and warmth that Josh's father wraps him with, it really does gives another crucial emphasis on communication and how acceptance can really make people be more confident with what they're good at and passionate about. I want to get into the comedy to wrap up this movie review, and it's a very significant part of the movie as well, as this movie does quite do a good job with, you know, having that intense moments of, you know, trying to hide, you know, that secrecy of, you know, Natalie obviously, you know, trying to act as Josh's cousin, and, you know, trying to get Tag into, you know, being in a relationship with her. But there's a lot of memorable moments in Love Heart that portrays the comedic aspect, you know, making the film more engaging and, you know, more heartfelt as well. And in particular, the climbing segment film, it really does make this so much more heartfelt, because in this scene where Josh teaches Natalie about how to rock climb because she has a date with the real Tag to rock climb, and Natalie, for further information, she has no experience in rock climbing at all, and so Josh teaches her how to rock climb, and so through this, you know, we kind of see the comedic moments of Natalie being very, very scared, you know, after going maybe like 30 centimeters up, and then we kind of see how they open up within each other of how they were like in high school, and they reveal actually a lot of the common aspects of their childhood experiences, which create that bond within each other. And so that's kind of what the movie is about. I wanted to talk about those aspects of the movie. And as you kind of do a deep dive into the film, we kind of see the hidden aspects and the core themes that really make this movie a much more deeper and a heartfelt movie that we can all watch. And so if you guys are interested in this romantic comedy movie with a little bit of comedy and a blend of humor, feel free to go watch it. It is on Netflix. And so I think this is a great movie to just sit back, relax, and just enjoy that comedy aspect and how romance can develop within friendships as well. So I hope you guys enjoyed that movie review segment. It is one of my favorite movies to watch during Christmas time now. I think I first discovered it, maybe it was last year. I think last year was when the movie was come out. Okay, actually, now that I just look at it, it's a 2021 movie. So I'd say, you know, soon it'll be 4 years ago that the movie came out. But I hope you guys enjoy this movie. I certainly enjoyed it. And so why don't we move on to the second portion of the show, which is listening to some songs that I've prepared for you all from the band The Hidden Cameras. It is actually from the album called A Woo, the first song being She's Gone. I hope you guys enjoy this song. So here we go.
Sitting alone, I feel dread, but I feel the lifeblood in my head. Looking down at myself from above, I can see that my shadow is stalking. She's gone, yeah. In the grass, I feel warm, laying low with my head up, eyes open wide as to the moon. She's ready to be with you. She's gone, yeah. Get to my feet. I feel better when I'm moving on. Escape the grimace of my shadow. I will be gone before even though she's gone, and I'm never gonna see her face again. She's gone, yeah. Life imitates the thoughts we make, and so we fall into the bed. Moon above, I see a face, I hear a song. She's gone, never gonna see her face again. She's gone, yeah.
That was She's Gone by The Hidden Cameras. The next song I have for you guys is called Lollipop. And so I hope you guys enjoy this song. Here we go. That was Lollipop by The Hidden Cameras. The next song I have for you guys is called Fi-Fi. This actually reminds me of the giant, I think it's from Mickey Mouse, it's some sort of movie. Beansprout? Mickey Mouse? Some sort of movie like that. Jack and the Beanstalk, but it's like Mickey Mouse version, and the giant there actually says Fi-Fi-Fo-Fum. I don't know if you guys remember that, but that's what I remember from this song title. So, Fi-Fi from Hidden Cameras. Here we go.
Slow down, I'm a slow learner, and I go places when I feel like it. Feel like do 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 do. Smell yearning and I go down, I go down to the foot of the foot of do 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 do. Feel it, sun by the wrist and go wander till you see me telling you love another instead. Lay him down, tell him how he will rest. With that, prepare the thunder of do 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 do. As he looks up at you, you see yourself in his face. Your arms are stronger, swallowing spit on the brink of a blood used to share of his wagon in the morning of do 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 do.
That was Fee Fi by The Hidden Cameras. The last song I have prepared for you all is called Follow These Eyes. So here we go.
In the dark of night, I won't break from your side. Not a step aside. We will work in silence with these eyes and the grins that will fall to waste. With these eyes, with these eyes, with these eyes, with these eyes, with these eyes. Had a way to convince. You are.
That was Follow These Eyes by The Hidden Cameras. The last portion of the show, I am actually going to be reading out some fun facts about candy canes because it is Christmas season, and I think candy canes play a crucial role in Christmas. We can't have Christmas without candy canes. I haven't had a candy cane in probably years, but it's okay. I'm just going to be talking about the fun facts for you guys today. All right, the first one is the longest candy cane made came from Switzerland and is measured 51 feet. This is from the ArklaTextToday12.com website, and it seems like the longest candy cane is 51 feet. That is extremely long. The next one is 1.76 billion candy canes are produced every single year. That is a lot of candy canes. I wonder if you guys, when you were younger, thought that the green and the red candy canes each held distinct flavors. I realize that it does not, at least for me. It's both just mint flavored. However, there are a lot of flavored candy canes as well. You know what? Now that I just speak of this, I do miss having some candy canes. But yeah, the next one is December 26th is actually the National Candy Cane Day. So if you want to eat candy canes, that day would probably be the day. I wonder if on this day they give out free candy canes. I do remember that there are some donut shops where if it's National Donut Day, they would just give out free donuts. But I don't know for National Candy Cane Day. That would be an interesting one. The next one is they've been called candy canes since around 1866. That's quite interesting. It's a long, long name that has been going on for decades. The next one is candy canes. Oh, this one's very interesting, actually. Candy canes were originally straight. The curve was added to represent the shepherd's crooked cane. And if you turn it upside down, it's the letter J for Jesus. I don't know if this... It seems like there's some sort of Christian emphasis on the shape of the cane, which is quite interesting. The next one is... actually, before we get on, I do remember that there are definitely candy canes that are just straight. But I feel like the overall view and the image that we get, most of us at least, are probably that crooked cane. But yeah, the next one is the candy canes come in more than peppermint flavor. Now, I didn't even know this, you can find chocolate, fruits, and even bacon flavored candy canes. That, I'm gonna be honest, doesn't sound quite appealing. I don't know if I want a candy cane that tastes like bacon. That seems a little odd because I'm assuming that it would have to be sweet because it's candy still. And I don't know if sweet and savory go too well together. I mean, I guess I can contradict myself because I do love to eat avocados and honey. So I don't know if candy canes and bacon would go well together. But yeah, I mean, I guess there are bacon-flavored candy canes in the world. The next one is the leading theory of when candy canes came into begins in 17th century in Germany. That is interesting. Wow. The next one is all it takes is sugar, light corn syrup, water, red and white food coloring, and peppermint extract to make your own candy cane. That is very interesting. I think baking and, you know, I've never made candy before, but I think baking is a great way to just, you know, do a family gathering or do a fun activity with your friends. So maybe I do encourage you guys to bake this year for Christmas time. You know, I think it's a very fun experience to go through. The last and final fun fact for today is it's one of Santa's favorite things to pass out when kids come to visit. I don't even know how this information came about, whether what Santa enjoys or not. But it seems like, yeah, I mean, Santa's favorite thing to pass around is candy canes when kids come to visit. All right, that is it for the fun fact segment for today's episode. Thank you all for listening once again. I am here every week, Tuesdays, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll see you all next week because it is Christmas break. But I'll see you all in the following week after that week. Good luck, everybody, for your final exams. I know it is a very stressful and, you know, busy time. You know, there's a lot of pressure, but I do strongly believe that we can all persevere through this time and enjoy our Christmas break with our friends and families. Thank you again for listening. My name is Jeff, and I'll see you all next week on Leaning with Jeff Tuesdays, 2 to 3 p.m. Goodbye, everyone.